about the professor?
In? In and out? Huh? Oh, you know him?
From where?
Huh? Class. You know how it is these days. I mean, just have to clarify it. Well, tell him I was asking about it. But I don't see him. He's very busy.
Krishna, Krishna.
You've read this book, Tracy, Nectar Devotion? Which book are you reading? Haven't finished that yet. Indian style? Now I see why these guys are very content. They're eating like this every day? You're cooking like this?
Yeah.
Every day for them?
Yeah.
No wonder. Now the secret's out. Your head's so good, huh? How far away do you work to? You're a volunteer? Animal rights. That means you're concerned with the rights of all the people today. There's very few people acting like human beings, so you have a big department. What are the human rights? Human rights are not simply political rights. Those are the glorified versions of animal rights. Human rights means human beings have a right to self-realization. That's the real human rights. We should stand up for it. But what the humans consider rights are just glorified versions of animal rights. So before you can actively push for animal rights, you have to know the difference between animal and human being. So you feel drawn to helping the animals? Well then, huh? Oh, we're helping the animals. Yeah. We're helping all the animals. Four-legged, two-legged, all of them. Right, Tracy? We're helping all the animals. She's shaking her head away. There we go, Virginia. How is it not true? How is it not true? No, probably. How is it not true? Yes. Yeah. When people are simply concerned with the four animal senses, ahara, nidra, vaya, might, and charge senses, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, then it's an animal life. No matter how sophisticated you've done. Economic development and political arrangement just to chase those four things, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that's not human life. We're just being accurate. We're being realistic when we say that. We don't say like that with scorn. We say like that with sadness. People are wasting their lives. They're not getting their human rights. So if you want to help people, you want to help all the animals, then just give them Krishna consciousness. That's most compassionate people. These days everyone is a butcher in that not only are they butchering animals, but they're butchering themselves too. So it's nice if you want to be big hearted, but you should do the best. Be the best compassionate person. You pick out one group of animals. Help all of them. In Sanskrit, the term is dvipashu, two-legged animals. So, you should care for all the animals, whether four legs or two legs. So what are you going to do for all these animals? Because unless you change the people's consciousness, you won't really make any lasting change. I have a short spell of interest in political change. In my last year, secondary school, my first year of university. But after a short time, my first year of university, I realized that agitation is going to change. People's rights, oppressed people. Everybody just wanted sense gratification. That was the whole point. I told you that. I went to one political meeting during my university days. They're having a revolutionary weekend, which people from all students from nearby universities would come. And have revolutionary seminars discussing helping the downtrodden people, like that. So. This was at in England it would be the equivalent of Oxford or Cambridge or something. It was
students were showing their revolutionary sympathies for the downtrodden people themselves. We're helping the people in the streets and the communities. So they're making all these plans, different seminars, how to educate people, political mobilization, all that kind of stuff. You heard about that. Get the message out, make the people politically aware, politically enthused. So they had this massive planning session. But the main part of the planning session was at that time the university was all men. Changed the next year. So the main part of the planning session was make sure all attention was given to the visiting girl students from the girl university. That was the main part of the revolutionary planning for the weekend discussion. Those girls, yes, the revolutionary sisters. Susan will be looking after them. The whole point. I still remember that meeting. That took up most of the time. What to do with the revolutionary sisters? all the men. It was all men at the meeting. Because at that time, the university was still all men. That was what got their most. That's what got the most enthusiasm. Yeah, the revolutionary sisters. So then I remember. Then they got to the main point of the meeting, of the schedule. The dance after the end of the weekend, the dance. Or party. So that was the main thing. Revolutionary brothers, revolutionary sisters, but you know, meet for the party for the people. So then I remember when the revolutionary brothers got up and made a speech. He had taken it upon himself to organize the whole party scene and cleaning up afterwards, and that was his contribution to the revolution. He was felt very conscious of himself and proud. Brothers, you know, my responsibility is the party, and we want to make it, of course, a first-rate party. We definitely want all the revolutionary sisters to feel comfortable, and you know, so brother so and so will be in charge of providing, you know, making sure there's plenty of, you know, beverages there. And then he said, and then afterwards, you know, when things have ended around 2 a.m., if any of you brothers are still around, if any of you haven't, you know, you failed, you didn't, you know, you didn't find your way to a motel with one of the sisters, and you failed. Well, just a bit. By 2 o'clock, you failed, and come on and help me clean up the party floor. So I heard that, and I realized, oh, my God. So what is the use of it? I still remember it to this day. That was like how many years ago? More than 30 years ago. If 2 o'clock comes around and, you know, it didn't work out for you, you failed. You failed. Well, then, you know, still, you know, there's something you can do for the revolution. Just, you know, help us clean up the party floor, you know. If you didn't find your way back to a motel room with one of the sisters. I can't believe this. But, you know, I was really serious, you know. Revolutions are a serious thing. But I saw this is all it's about. This is politics, huh?
What do they treat you?
That's the normal thing, right?
You have these charity parties?
No. We don't need parties, huh?
So, that's the point of it all. Real revolution has to be in consciousness. Of course, it's nice that people worried about animal slaughter, but by this kind of piecemeal approach, you won't really make a change. You have to have a holistic approach to change, not just, you know, pick one thing, abortion or animal rights, or this or that, you know, genetic food. You have to find something that covers everything. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the complete revolutionary package. Is that what you're interested in?
Yeah.
So you should become a complete revolutionary or a complete reform person. Don't you ever wonder, you know, during the day you're working with these volunteers, animal rights, and at night they go out and act, love them like animals, right? You've noticed, huh? You'd probably like to do it during the day also, right? Huh? Oh, what is it like? Tell me about it. Yeah. And afterwards there's a party? Well, they don't really need parties anymore for to get up to push on their affairs these days, huh? Or at least for the over the. Do you have other activists, you know, pursuing you at work? Well, whatever. I mean, you know, trying to establish liaisons with you at work. What do they do? Like, what's their opening line? How do you feel about the, you know, the danger of whales disappearing? What's the opening line? Tell us. See, Tracy, this is how I find out, you see? You don't ask, you never learn, and you think, oh, everyone's nice, and the world's not so bad. Once you start digging, this is how you find everything out. What do they say to you? What's their opening line? What do they kind of walk up to you and what do they say? Mm-hmm. So, they try to take a personal interest in you? No? You sure? None of that goes on there? Absolutely nothing. How many? Why? Why did you change your mind? You just remembered some things, huh? Well, tell us. Yeah? So what does that mean if they're males? Well, give us some, you know, give us some description. Huh? Tell us. What do they say to you? Come on, let's go over here and discuss something about the animals. Or how do they do it these days? Huh? Hmm?
let's go over to your flat and discuss the endangered New Zealand species. You have what? Yeah? And then what happened? Yeah? Just the six of you or something. How many? Who funds it? So then, after the meetings, what happened? A little socializing? Yes, but... Go on. Yes, you keep jumping over something now. As you said, there are men there, and the men, you know, men are interested in their program. Not that the ladies are, but the men are. So, what do you give us some examples? Something your memory was blank. Huh? That's all part, you know, that's all part of it, that people are lonely, they want some, at least some temporary companionship, right? Yeah? So what a better way to meet somebody than an animal rights meeting. Yeah? Yes. Common interest leads to other things. All for the glory of protecting the animals. Right? That's the way things are. I suppose at your office, Jason, things are a bit more tight, right? She's not saying anything. Just more time. Just tape it over a bit better, huh? Who's liaisoning with who? How many people work at your place? Meetings from time to time for all organizations, and we get to know each other. That's a good way for people to meet each other and establish random contact. Provide grist for discussion at the morning coffee table. Yeah. If you really want to help people, you have to learn how to become selfless. But sense gratification means you can't be selfless. You understand? So if you really want to help people, you have to learn how to control your senses. Then you can start working on being selfless. But as long as your senses are misleading you, then you can never
do anything for a reason free from selfishness. So, we're not saying it's not nice to try and help people with charity or help animals, animal rights. We're just saying it's not the most important thing. That's all. You have to do the most important thing first. We're not condemning them. Understand that, Tracy? It's just what we're probably condemning is people's attempt to make it the everything. And they're putting so much attention and energy in things that aren't the most important. That's the problem. Just like you're concerned with, you know, a few species of animals. Not even all the animals on Earth, just the animals in New Zealand. But there's so many species of life. Right? But you pick out a few of them in one little country. How can you make your welfare activities so that every creature is benefited? That is Krishna consciousness. But you should learn Krishna consciousness and distribute that. Okay, so we'll teach you. How old are you? 22. If you put the same energy, you put an animal right into distributed Krishna consciousness, you would help the world incalculably more. Do you feel that your animal rights work is having an effect? Is it stopping whatever it is going on? Yes. Just like what they had this genetic food, genetically modified food parade and often 10,000 people in the rain. And then the Daniel was telling me a few days ago, anyway, they just passed this law saying that they'll have some trial areas. Oh, man. But if you just help one person become Krishna conscious, that effect is eternal. Even just one person, that one person can affect the whole world. And even if it's just one person, it doesn't affect anyone. That is a solid change for one person. You can rearrange their whole past karma. So it doesn't affect them. Whereas political charity work, it just deals with the surface, doesn't get underneath. But in Krishna consciousness, you can just help one person, you've gotten underneath all the surface things. All these things would be better if there was Krishna in the center, if the proper perspective was there. So since the proper perspective isn't there, the proper center isn't there, upon which all these tangents could be connected, better to concentrate on putting the center in the situation, putting Krishna in the situation. Then when there's Krishna in the center, you can have all these other tangents. You know what I mean, Tracy? Without the center, everything is just, you know, way out of proportions, hanging in space, unrelated.
So it's good you want to be big-hearted, but you find the right thing to be big-hearted for. You want to help? Okay, so you put your energies fully into learning Krishna consciousness and teaching others. How do you support yourself? You figure you're doing something for the people so that the government can support you. Well, then really do something for the people. You'll benefit the government that way. The government is supporting persons who are uplifting the people with enlightenment. That's the best use of the taxpayers' money. You're paying your share of all the taxes here. Rates, something else. You have to pay income tax. So you're a taxpayer. Would you rather have your taxes go to support animal rights activists or someone who's distributing Krishna consciousness? You actively distribute Krishna consciousness? Be a human rights activist, the real human rights is to become Krishna conscious. Then you can teach people how to solve all their problems. So why don't you work on that? Okay. Study these books and you distribute these books to others, that's the greatest wealth they're working on. These books are the association of Krishna. By giving people these books, give them association of Krishna. You prevent them from going down into the animal species in the next life. You have lots of energy. This is what you should do with your energy. No, there's no higher purpose or cause for you to sacrifice. Become a saintly person and teach others to become a saintly person. This will never help you become a saint. Yes, you can be saint soon. Your friends will be totally, they won't be able to believe it, huh? Yeah. As a saintly person, you can affect the most change. You actually make deep seated change. Not only in this lifetime, but in the future, eternally. So that's the best thing for you to do. So it's good you have this desire to help, but you have to put your energies the most effective way. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Get some experience from that and then distribute that. And here we teach you one important thing that you have to learn if you want to really affect change. You know what that is? One of the many things you learn is you have to learn how to become smarter than sex. Otherwise, you won't be able to make any big effect. That problem always takes away your energies, distorts things, and causes complications. If you really want to help people and make changes in their lives, you have to learn how to become smarter than that. Otherwise, you'll always be doodled here. Just like the Revolutionary Brothers I was talking about. After all is said and done, same old thing that the cats and dogs are getting out in the streets. You know? Same old thing. So how much are you willing to sacrifice and modify yourself in order to help? Really? Okay, then you come to the right place. You purify yourself, and then you can affect others. They'll want to purify themselves. If you really care for others, first you have to purify yourself. Are you willing to do that? Okay. Let's turn to page 203, chapter 25. Is there any letter here? Devotees of Krishna. A person who is always absorbed in Krishna consciousness is called a devotee of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami says that all the transcendental qualities discussed previously are also found in the devotees of Krishna. The devotees of Krishna can be classified into two groups. Those who are cultivating devotional service in order to enter into the transcendental kingdom, and those who are already in the perfectional stage of devotional service. So we have here a nice definition of what it means to be a devotee. It doesn't say anything about a devotee is one who wears neck beads or has a certain kind of clothes. Those things are external indicators, which may not always indicate an internal condition of the person. But here we find reference to the internal characteristics of it, what's inside. A person who's always absorbed in Krishna consciousness is called. So this is our quest, how to always be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Now, I know some of you have experienced times in your devotional career when maybe your enthusiasm has waned, or you're facing some, going through some bodily and mental transition, and things don't seem to be going as well for you in Krishna consciousness. You may get that feeling periodically. There's always one solution that always works. To increase your absorption. This is the name of the game. This is what you're actually coping with. Absorption. How to absorb your consciousness more in Krishna. When in doubt, always increase the absorption in Krishna consciousness, and you'll find, once again, you're moving along on the road very nicely. Don't become bewildered, confused. Oh, what's happening to me? It's not the same anymore. All you have to do is, you say that better. All you have to do is increase your absorption. Because a devotee is someone who's always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. In this way, you make the biggest change for yourself and others just by increasing the intensity of your absorption in Krishna's service. Please understand this point. It's very simple, powerful, and clear. Your quest is how to increase the absorption in Krishna. That's what you're trying to do. All our activities are like a medical prescription to correct the disease of material absorption. That is what's troubling you, material absorption. Material absorption has left its imprint on your consciousness. So if you want to actually do the best thing with your life, you must come to absorption in Krishna consciousness. And we're hearing that there are two groups of devotees of Krishna, those who are learning how to serve Krishna so that they can enter into the spiritual world, and those who are already at the perfectional stage. Remember this morning we were talking about destination. You have to be destination conscious. Where am I going? Like, Sue, where did you think you were going before you found out about Krishna consciousness? Travel. But then, when you became an old lady, you never thought about being an old lady? Before, you never thought about it. Yeah. And what did you think your next life would be? Human civilization, as we discussed this morning, thinks about the future destination. How can you qualify yourself for the highest destination? That's what you should be thinking. Next, in a few months, Satya's mother is going to USA, and she's coming back here, right? Maybe going to India. Maybe staying here. Maybe going to India. So these are destinations. But we also have to think, what would be my destination when I change this body? Will I be qualified to go to this destination or that destination? You have to think like that. The special thing about Krishna consciousness is that you don't wait until you die in order to experience the spiritual world. You experience the spiritual world as soon as you start to serve Krishna and as soon as you start to chant Krishna's name. So it's not that you are just waiting here to die and then you enter into perfection. Wherever there's devotional service, wherever there's the chanting of the holy name, you have the spiritual world. That is how powerful Krishna consciousness is. Now it's up to you to want to realize these things.
Do we need a little air in here? hard day at work?
A person who has attained the stage of attraction for Krishna and who is not free from the material impasse, but who has qualified himself to enter the kingdom of God, is called sadhaka. Sadhaka means one. And we want that you qualify yourself to enter into the kingdom of God. But you don't have to wait till you die to do that. That's why we stress devotional service so much. Devotional service is both the means and the end. You serve Krishna in order to do more service to Krishna. You chant Hare Krishna in order to chant more Hare Krishna. So that is the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness. The means is the same as the end. The description of such a devotee is found in the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 46 of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said there that a person who has unflinching faith in and love for the personality of Godhead, who is in friendship with devotees of Krishna, and who is very merciful to the ignorant, raising them to the standard of devotional service, and who is uninterested in non-devotees, is considered to be situated in the position of cultivating devotional service. So, we'd like that you all see yourselves as yogis in devotion. We are training yogis here. Not physical exercise yogis. That's not our concern. Our concern is to actually train yogis in devotion. Yogis who know how to connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such persons become the most powerful and meritorious persons. Now, what is the basic definition of a yogi? Who knows? Someone who lives in the Himalayas, in the mountains. Someone who doesn't eat. What's the basic definition of a yogi? Shall we do that? No. Basic definition of a yogi, one who practices yoga. One basic definition. A yogi is someone who controls the senses according to a predetermined plan. So that's what we're doing here. We're teaching you how to control your senses according to a predetermined plan. In this way, you get back control of your life. You understand that point, Tracy? You cannot have control over your own life unless you know the art of controlling your senses according to a predetermined plan. That is actually the difference between human beings and animals. Animals have no plan for controlling their senses. They don't have that developed consciousness. But a human being can be taught to do this. A human being can be taught to use all the senses according to a predetermined plan. When you do that, you're a yogi. Now, there are different steps on the yoga ladder. Bhakti is the culmination of the yoga ladder. Still, all the different forms of yoga have this one thing in common, the controlling of the senses according to a predetermined plan. So this should give you some insight into how to organize your life. Mother cooks, it's very easy. Control your senses according to a predetermined plan, right? You know, at this time, there'll be prasad. And you shape everything around it, right? Is that what's happening? So, it should be like that with everything. When you control your senses according to a predetermined plan, you become peaceful and protected from agitation. Every one of you should learn the art of how to protect yourself from agitation. You have to know that art because the society you live in is just hell-bent on agitating you out of your mind. Non-stop disturbances. If you don't know the art of how to protect yourself from agitation, you're always going to be very disturbed. You're always going to be trying to light a candle in front of a window where the wind is always blowing. It's very difficult. You have to learn how to protect yourself from agitation. Because you're living in a society that is determined to agitate you in every possible way. They consider that a healthy society. When the consumers are agitated and are always buying more things. When people want more. Free market globalization is all built on people wanting more. And when people stop wanting more, how can there be globalization? The whole globalization is built on making a global supermarket. Have everybody want to eat the same way, and that'll mean that a few multinational corporations can control everything. But if, as long as there are these different eating patterns, then it's not easy to globalize. So they figured out the best way to globalize is through this American pop culture. Get everybody into that and then control the profits. You've seen how much music has changed the past 7 years. Whatever is in the movies from Hollywood, that's what the young people do. Men wear their hats backwards and baggy pants because, you know, that's what's in the movies. The ladies take whatever themes are in the movies and apply them to their life. And then they affect even India with this. When you go back to India, you'll see. When's the last time you were there? Mm-hmm. 98. You were there. When you go back, you'll see big difference. Yes. When I was there this year, I saw their one movie they're advertising, Indian-made movie. About a single woman who was making her own way through life. And so they were advertising, she has her own moral code. She's not like the traditional lady. She has her own moral code. Watch her as she makes her way through the business world. She has her own moral code. This is a very advanced thing. So how are you going to protect yourself from agitation and disturbance? You have to be practical about your living circumstances. Be practical about the kind of society that you live in. And realize the effects upon you. And understand that it's not easy trying to make some real change. It's easy to try to make a cosmetic change. Pick out one little aspect of the Holocaust and try to change that. Try to change everything. That is possible, but only through Krishna consciousness. A devotee of Krishna can change everything just by being absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So we want you all here to be yogis in devotion. Learn how to control your senses according to a predetermined plan. Make friendship with devotees of Krishna. Be merciful to the ignorant. Be uninterested in non-devotees, meaning be not interested in deriving any inspiration from them. Notice that change in you, Tracy. You're becoming just interested in non-devotional persons, just becoming the same old stale things, same old conversations. You're finding it more and more difficult to keep your end of the conversation. Oh, yes. Really? Oh, that's lovely. Excellent. Brilliant. Well done. Or if you're on the South Island, you can say, good as gold. They say that in the North Island too. Yeah? That's much better. You get tired of that. Because you know it's just the same old, same thing. And you wonder, what's the point of all this? So Tracy, you should start thinking, what is the point of all these activities? Political, economic, social. It all leads to the same things. That's the funny thing about it. All these complications just for the same thing. Just think, when you meet people and talk to them, what do they really want at the end of the day? Do you do that? Yeah, you should. After all is said and done, what do they really want? Shocking. Therefore, a devotee is not interested in taking inspiration from non-devotees. We're not interested in becoming contaminated by attachment to the temple. We're interested in becoming absorbed in Krishna. Now we'll hear about the very advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. When one is found shedding tears by hearing of the pastimes of the Lord, it is to be understood that the blazing fire of material existence will be extinguished by such watering. When there is shivering of the body and the hairs of the body stand up, it is to be understood that the devotee is nearing perfection. An example of a sadhaka cultivating devotional service is Bill Mondo and Sakura. So you see that Krishna consciousness is a very emotional thing. Perfection includes emotions. The emotions that we are familiar with in our material life are just very stale versions of spiritual emotions. So if you're really interested in emotions, then practice bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga gives you the deepest knowledge of emotions. You'll see all the psychological tendencies of material life originating in the spiritual world. They originate in Krishna's relationships with his devotees. In the spiritual world, romance is there, friendship, parental, love, all these things are there. In Krishna's pastimes, in Krishna's activities, you find all the emotional tendencies there in perfection. Don't think that Krishna consciousness means no emotion. No, Krishna consciousness is the perfection of emotion. The perfection of personalism. Any questions? All of you are tired tonight. Those who take Lord Chaitanya's mercy, they'll be protected from the horrors of Kali Yuga. There's a special 10,000 year period in the age of Kali, like an umbrella that's a storm. So if you're under the umbrella, then you'll experience the golden age of Lord Chaitanya, which began approximately 500 years ago with the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So it doesn't mean Kali Yuga will stop. It means that within Kali Yuga there will be a special umbrella offered. Obviously, they'll benefit indirectly, but we want them to benefit directly. Then, yes. Have a big opportunity. We hope it doesn't take you 10,000 years to finish up your business in this lifetime. You ever think what it's like to take birth again? You'll get a human form in your next life, guaranteed, because of what you've already done in Krishna consciousness. But still, to be born again, to be a baby again, and grow up again, be a teenager again. You should try to finish your work in this lifetime. That's a career. Becoming Krishna conscious. That means work at becoming absorbed in Krishna. Every day. Arrange your day so that you can be most absorbed in Krishna. You'll have arranged to get such nice prasad every day, so arrange everything like that. mother is doing such nice service for you all, so you should help her until she goes back to India. This is going to you, Krishna. We have to look out for her. Cannot inconvenience such a mother. How far are you in the Bhagavatam now? How far? Fifth canto now? Tenth canto. Wow, he's becoming a learned scholar. I'll never forget when I first met her. I think Satya had mentioned something to me about she was just watching TV every night. So then I think I mentioned something like that to you. What did I say? What did I say? I said, Jane? I said that? No, I didn't say that. Don't watch television. Wasted time watching television. So she's kind of surprised, and she kind of looked at her son, like, you must have told him. So she took him aside into the corner and just, beating on him. Remember? She took him into the corner. He was laughing. Remember that? You didn't think we were watching? She took him into the corner. He was laughing. He knew he was laughing because he knew he had done the best thing for you. He knew that you would realize it soon. Now you have read up to 10th canto, so that means you don't have much time for television, man. But will your relatives say in when you go to the USA? What will your relatives say when you go to the USA? They'll think you've become too religious, huh? Tell you, oh, you're becoming too serious. Just be a Hindu. You should not be so serious about it. Just wear the red dot on your forehead and we're sorry and worship all the gods. Now you are Krishna's devotee. So now. Have you read Chaitanya Charitamrita yet? Where are you in that? She's reading all day, huh? I'm envious, huh? 5 hours. Huh? Amazing book Chaitanya Charitamrita is, but you are from South India, so you must know something about Mahaprabhu, yes? In South India, they know about him, and of course in Bengal and Orissa. Other side of India, not so much. That is the most advanced scripture, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very nice. very happy when I hear someone reading Srila Prabhupada's books very seriously. Srila
Prabhupada.
Lilamrita, yes. Very good. All these books he's read more than you, yes? No? So your son has done you the greatest good. Yes. You raised him, now he did the greatest gift for you. You have to take care of your mother. It's not an ordinary person. When he wrote me 2 months ago, I just asked him some questions about his passport and residency and things like that. He's ready to go. Okay, I'm ready to travel. I said, wait. I could analyze the situation. How can he just go away with such a nice mother? I cannot allow that. You must see that you are properly situated. So while you are here, you should take care of you. Other questions? Yeah? By doing your service, even when you don't feel like it. If you just do things when you feel like it, you'll never develop determination. But Juliet's finding that out. She's doing sankirtan even though she thinks that she can't do it anymore. That way she can show herself that she can conquer her mind. You just do things when you feel like it. You'll never taste the nectar of conquering your mind when it doesn't feel like doing something. The whole point is to be absorbed in Krishna's service. Gradually it'll become natural to you. In the beginning, you have to push yourself. But gradually you'll realize it's the natural thing. Because Krishna is all attractive and you are a part of Krishna. Your mother has read Krishna book too?
Yes.
Nectar of Devotion? No. This is, you must read this. This is. Nectar of Instruction?
Yes.
Okay. She's reading many books at once, huh? Very nice. So that was the thing that about our center here that always enthused me when the devotees very seriously reading Prabhupada's books. If you're running around all day and night, you won't have time to do that. You have to have time to study so that you become learned, knowledgeable in the science of Krishna. I'm glad that's happening now. I should let you go so you'll be well rested for tomorrow morning. Can't be greedy, it's keeping you all for myself. Greg, what are you doing? You're working or just.
Yes, sure. Okay.
So remember what it means to be a devotee of Krishna. It means to be a person who's always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And this Krishna conscious cultivation will take you to the point of when you hear the glories of Krishna, tears fall from your eyes, your hair stand on end. It'll bring you the perfection of emotion. Not that your emotions disappear, your real emotions come out.
Okay.
It's very hard for me to let you all go, but I should do that. It's going to be hard for me to eat anything else tomorrow after. How can I eat anything else after such a wonderful lunch? Oh, that's hard for me to say no. Oh, he goes over there. Oh, how's that? Oh, I see. Where do you guys eat? Oh, you had the same thing I did today. She cooks for all the different diets? What do you think she is, a restaurant? Too much. These guys really got it good, huh? Got a good thing going. Guys are really going to be indebted to her. All right, yes. Sure, every time. I especially like those, what do you call them? I call them black eyed peas. What do you call them? Mm-hmm. Black eyed beans. Yeah, I really like those. And the greens also. What do you call those greens that you made? Green vegetables? Maybe you shouldn't go back to India.
Why?
Why are you going back?
I don't know.
Why is she going back?
Got some property and grandma. But then
your son will be lonely here. When? After 6 months to 1 year. So you want him to wait for you? Yes. That'll have to see. Well, at least he can wait till you come back from... When do you come back from USA? You come back here?
Yeah.
For how long?
She's waiting to get the India. day of the few years, you could end up in research and go whenever.
Yes. How long? Okay. So she comes back from USA in May or June, and she stays until December. All right, we'll have to make sure that she is satisfied. I don't know. We'll have to see. I don't know. I'm looking at her now. I don't know. All the men are thinking, oh, such a stay, because then she'll be here. All right. Mother who's a devotee is a very rare thing, so you have to think about these things deeply. Come sadhu, learn it in all the shastras. All right. Thank you.